Greetings, gentlemen. Today we will be talking about the somewhat infamous 4B movement, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding surrounding this, and a lot of people don't really understand where it comes from or how it even came about, and they just kind of look at a bunch of Western American women on TikTok or what have you, running their mouths off about this sort of thing. But the roots of 4B and the complexities are significantly deeper, if you will. Now, basically, the premise of 4B, as it's interpreted in the West, is women going on strike, as in not offering their bodies, not marrying, not engaging in childbirth, the whole shebang. Those elements are actually true elements of the so-called movement in terms of its origin country, but it's only half the story. So first, I have to entertain you slash bore you with the history of this a bit, because 4B originates in South Korea, and South Korea has a very particular history. You see, South Korea has some of the worst gender relations in the entire world. Why do I say that? You can see it in terms of the birth rates. South Korea has the worst birth rates in the world. It's something like 0.8. It's worse than the worst countries in Europe. It's worse than Japan. And there's sort of an internal war between the sexes there, as it were. Men and women in South Korea really don't get along. And a lot of it has to do with the history. South Korea, as many of you might know, was for a long time a colony of Japan in the 20th century. They eventually shrugged that off. Then there was a war that split the country in two. Now you have North Korea, South Korea. And then in the 60s in particular, in the 70s, there was this all-out effort to industrialize the country, to push it forward, to technologize it, etc., etc. And by and large, this effort succeeded. And in time, South Korea became one of the great economic powers in the world. Obviously not the top, but considering the size and the time it took, it's done tremendously well. This is historically and economically referred to as the Miracle on the Han, so named after the river that flows through the city of Seoul, or Seoul, the capital of South Korea. And then there's another aspect here, because a lot of people don't know that South Korea was a dictatorship until 1988, comparatively recently, all things considered. And so basically, Koreans in South Korea have had a really, really crappy time. Not as bad a time as the North Koreans, mind you, that goes without saying, but it is a pretty miserable place for a lot of people who live there because of the constant pressure that exists on top of all the other historical events that I mentioned. Because South Korea is inarguably the most neo-Confucianistic country in the world. And so what does this mean? It means that it's basically taking all the old concepts of Confucianism with an added twist, so to speak. That is the simplified version. There's this culture of deference, of quote-unquote respect, but it's not the kind of respect you and I understand in the West. I learned that lesson all too quickly when I lived in South Korea many, many winters ago. And if you take all these aspects combined, the very, very difficult history in the 20th century, as well as more recent years, that leads up to the current situation in part, so a historical evolution, if you will, of very stressful events, including multiple wars, colonization, as well as an all-out effort to boost the economy at the cost of human well-being and other factors. And then you add to that layer the problem of Neo-Confucianism, a very rigid societal model on which almost everything South Korea is still based to this day, then you end up with a situation where very few people are content. In fact, if you want to add to the negative statistics of South Korea, I already mentioned the birth rates, depending on the year, it's not always the case, but depending on the year, self-annihilation is one of the highest, if not the highest rate in the world. And so, like I said, depends on the year, but they're always top 10 in the world, which is a dubious honor indeed. And you have to ask yourself, are these people content in society? Some of the worst instances, for example, of South Korean self-deletion are instances of young people who didn't gain access to the best university they possibly could. And why does this matter? Because in South Korea, which is all about status and perception and maintaining face, the only universities that count are basically 2, 3, maybe maximum 4. And if you're not admitted to them, then your life is over. At least they believe that. And that leads a lot of people, both men and women, to self-deletion. And the weird thing on top of all that is that in terms of female self-deletion, South Korea usually has the highest rate in the world, which says a lot because women usually don't do that, or at least they don't go through with it as much as men. You also have old people who decide to self-delete so as to avoid being a burden to their family, which is a very weird concept for Westerners. You combine all this stuff, the history, the cultural stuff, and you end up in the situation where it is a living, breathing pressure cooker. People there are miserable, as evidenced by some of the stats I rattled off. And now we come to the gender stuff, the gender roles. Both men and women in South Korea are pretty miserable. The women are forced into, you could say, conventional gender roles. Many of them don't like it because they don't have the same freedom that Western women have. And the men are not content either because, for example, men have to obligatorily do 2 years of military service. A lot of this has to do with North Korea and the conflict there, a potential conflict. But those are 2 years that are lost. They never regain them. And there are no real benefits to doing these 2 years of service. Compare that to women who don't have to do that. And the whole country is a big mess. So you have both sexes that resent each other for different reasons. Women aren't content because they'll complain about harassment. In some cases, this is actually legitimate. You'll have men install cameras in public bathrooms and this sort of thing, as well as harassment in the workplace, which is probably much more likely the case in South Korea than in the West, and just a lot of social pressure in general for women. But that says nothing of the social pressure on men. Again, they're conscripted in a sense. They're forced to serve in the military, whether they like it or not. Men have to work ridiculous hours. They have no choice. And so they have very little freedom, very little opportunities in life other than to be a workhorse slave. Okay, combine all of these things and you end up with a powder keg. The men resent the women resent the men, and now we come to this so-called 4B movement, which is a feminist movement, admittedly, in South Korea, but not a terribly tiny one necessarily, where the women talk about the 4Bs, which are actually Korean terms, hence the Bs. So you have number one, which is called Bihon, which is no marriage. You have number two, Bichosan, which is no childbirth. You have number three, which is Bianne, which is no dating and no romantic relationships. And then finally, you have Bisex, which is basically no sexual relationships of any kind. And again, this isn't huge, but it is a decent portion of the feminist movement in South Korea. And whether you're sympathetic or not, the reasoning behind it makes a lot more sense, in theory, in South Korea, because everyone is miserable there. The people are very unhappy, both men and women. And the women who are part of the 4B movement see it falsely, in my humble opinion, as entirely the fault of men, rather than holistically a byproduct of very, very difficult history, cultural evolution, and things of this nature, where nobody is particularly content. And to counter this, of course, you have a lot of men who are actively hostile to feminism in a very, very aggressive way. A lot of people don't like that, and so they're basically at each other's throats. Okay, that's how that works in South Korea, and that is the origin of the 4B movement. It is very much a Korean phenomenon. But then some people in the West caught wind of this, women specifically, and they started to talk about it on their TikToks, on their social media feeds, because basically it was trending. What do? They like talking about trends, and they like to think things are important. And in terms of the reception in the West and what women are doing, I would liken their application of 4B, their adoption of it, if you will, as something similar to that nonsense from a few months back about, would you rather stand in the presence of a stranger man or a big bear, which is also a silly, absurd proposition, but you know, women were spreading it around as a meme and it got them popular and it got them views on TikTok and what have you. So in the West, this is just a meme. The women in the West who are talking about 4B, claiming to be exponents of it, have none of the cultural, historical, and let's be honest, real world constraints of women in South Korea. And were men to do something similar in the West, it would also be illegitimate because men in the West have a lot more freedom than Korean men do in South Korea as well. And so this is just for the memes. This is just for the lulls. This is just to get more attention. And women love attention, as you all know. So are we really to take seriously the claim that some mildly attracted to attractive woman on TikTok or on some social media platform is forevermore going to renounce relationships, marriage, have no children, and not copulate with men? Well, they might say that, rest assured, but the reality is that behind closed doors or behind the TikTok images, these women will be boinking Tyrone or Chad behind closed doors so nobody notices, and they will maintain this facade on camera and TikTok just to show the world how virtuous they are. But their real lives will not reflect this at all. Whereas, at the very least, whatever you think about it, the 4B movement in South Korea is actually legitimately being lived out by ideologically driven feminist women, which is a very different pair of shoes indeed. And so when you think about something like the 4B movement in the West, I think you can completely dismiss it out of hand because it's ridiculous. These women are not practicing what they're preaching or talking about. Like I said, they're still boinking. They're still probably going to get in relationships. It's not the same thing. And this is basically just a hijack movement. But in any event, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my patrons on Patreon and my donors on PayPal. You guys are the lifeblood of the channel. Without you, this channel could not exist, and you have my everlasting gratitude. For everyone else, if you can hit the bell icon to be informed of my videos, it would be much appreciated. And leave a like, comment, share, and subscribe. That helps too. Would also be appreciated. And if I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. Until then, may the gods watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.